Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We've been talking a lot of football today. We'll talk some baseball as well. I also want you guys to hear from a couple of different national voices, as I think Joe Burrow right now is the number one story in the National Football League. That loss, how he played, who they lost to. I think we'd be talking a lot about Aaron Rodgers, but he went on the road, first game back from an Achilles, and played poorly at San Francisco. Same thing for Kirk Cousins. When you lose at home against the New England Patriots, you're going to start a lot of conversation. We'll play that here coming up in a bit, Rob. But you know what? Let's get to the hits, and let's actually start today with the Kansas City Royals. They have an off day.
It's 5 o'clock. And your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C-Dot and Rob. This is The Hits. Number one.
Well, as you mentioned, the top of the day in Kansas City is the Kansas City Royals. Even though they lost yesterday to the New York Yankees, they remain firmly in the playoffs. They were to start today with 15-some-odd games to play. They are, in fact, a playoff team. But as we inch closer and closer toward playoff time here in Kansas City, as we begin our Blue October, Carrington, who is the team that you as a Royals fan would like to see them face? Because in the riptide, as Vern used to call it, we saw them take on the Astros. We saw them take on the Yankees. It went relatively poorly. We have not seen them take on the Orioles in quite some time. Is that who you would like to see the Royals face in a wild card round if it were to break that way?
You can fade the music down a little bit. Let's talk about the Royals, and we'll get back to football here coming up in a bit. If you take a look at the standings, I know in theory it is still possible for the Royals to catch the Cleveland Guardians. In my opinion, they had their opportunity to catch the Cleveland Guardians, and they lost it. On August 27th, the Royals and the Guardians were tied, and heading in late into the game, the Royals had the lead. They had their opportunity to get Cleveland. If you were going to get them, that was the time to get them. You've seen a basketball game before, Rob, where it's at some point, you have to take the lead. You can keep cutting it down to one possession, but eventually you got to get a stop, you got to make a bucket, and you got to take the lead at some point. The Guardians have either been tied or ahead of the Royals now for 4 months. So, sure, it is mathematically possible for the Royals to catch the Cleveland Guardians. I'm not here telling you, man, this thing's done. Pack it in. No, it's not done. But Cleveland has 84 wins. The Royals have 80 wins. How many wins do the Royals need to finish with in order to win the division? If you were saying that the Royals have to get red hot in the next 3 weeks while Cleveland also gets ice cold, we're talking about a very, very small percentage. So I'm not here to discourage anybody and tell you to give up on the American League Central, but the math to me is just not in the Royals' favor anymore. I don't want to play the Yankees in a wild card series where you got to go to Yankee Stadium to play 3 games. I don't have any interest in playing the Houston Astros, who have been the best team in the American League basically since Eric Hosmer left Kansas City. They have been the best team in the American League. That's not the team that I'm super interested in. I would love to play Baltimore. I know what the standings say. Baltimore is only a game and a half back of the Yankees. Baltimore is a completely different team in the second half of the season. Baltimore in the first half of the season was 58-38. In the second half of the season, they have been 25-26. That's a team you can beat. In a 3-game series, I have absolutely no fear going up against the Baltimore Orioles. I don't like the Royals' chances if you got to go to Yankee Stadium for 3. I don't like their chances if you got to go play the Astros. I love their chances if in the wild card round they either are playing Baltimore or hosting Baltimore. That's just not the same team that it was. They had a run differential of 80 in the first half of the season. They have a run differential of 4 in the second half of the season. They have some injuries at some key spots. They're having some issues here down the stretch. I don't look at Baltimore in the same way that I look at the Yankees and the Astros. I think heading into the postseason, the Yankees have to be considered the favorite, and I would say Houston, then I would put Cleveland, and then it's your guess on who you how you would rank the American League. I don't look at Baltimore at the same level as I look at those other two teams. They were the best team in the American League last year in the playoffs. They got bounced early. They're now fading down the stretch. We say it's a marathon, not a sprint. You also got to finish the marathon strong, and that's not what Baltimore is doing.
Number two.
Well, Carrington, pivoting back to football, let's talk a little bit about Thursday night football. A big one tonight is two former playoff teams were in action tonight on Amazon Prime. It is Bills and Dolphins. Carrington, last year you were outspoken, you were loud, you were the leader of the brigade when it came to saying the Dolphins are fake. They have not beat anyone. Tua is just smoke and mirrors. He has not beat anyone. New year, new Carrington, or do you still think the Dolphins are major fraud alert?
The Dolphins haven't beat a team that you think can win the Super Bowl in almost 2 years. I can give you their last 10 wins. I'll give you the quarterbacks. Mac Jones, Russell Wilson, Daniel Jones, Bryce Young, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Aiden O'Connell, Zach Wilson again, Dak Prescott, and Trevor Lawrence. If you're telling me the best team you've beat in the last year and a half is the Dallas Cowboys, okay. We can go back. Honestly, it has been almost 2 years. We were talking about this earlier, and you said, oh, you remember that time they beat Buffalo? That was in 2022 they beat Buffalo. They played Buffalo two times last year. They got blown out the first time, and then it was a win the division or go to Kansas City game, and they lost 21-14 at home and had to go in the frigid cold, and we know what happened in that game against Kansas City. I do not trust Miami. I don't like Miami. I think they're one of the most overrated and overvalued teams in the National Football League. I know Vegas has them as a slight favorite today. You can take Miami if you want. I'm taking Buffalo plus the points. If you're going to give me Buffalo as a dog and Josh Allen is 11-4 against Miami and Tua is 1-6 against Josh Allen, okay, you can have him.
You're starting to come around on my side about the Bills, because this offseason I was in on the Bills and you were saying, no, 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 there's no weapons, Rob. Where are the weapons? MVS stinks. He does.
He does.
Who's he going to throw to? Who's he going to throw to? And I was like, he's Josh Allen. He'll be fine. Are you starting to come around? Because if you have the Bills tonight, you have them starting 2-0 and likely leading their division.
I mean, I picked them to win their division. I like Buffalo more than I like the other teams in their division. I don't like Miami. The Jets, I think, have a bad defense. They have an overrated defense. Bad is strong. They have an overrated defense and a 40-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles tear. So I've never been a Jets believer. And the Patriots are not winning the division. So, yes, I like Buffalo more than I like the other teams. But you beating Arizona and Miami is not telling me that you're a Super Bowl contending team.
Number three.
Well, Carrington, as much as the Royals have been good and Thursday Night Football is back, the biggest story in Kansas City in the fall is the Kansas City Chiefs, and they have a mega matchup Sunday with the Cincinnati Bengals, who have been a thorn in the Chiefs' side. Earlier today, Mo Egger of 1530 in Cincinnati was on the show, and he says it's not just a thorn. The Bengals and the Chiefs are straight-up rivals.
I think it's become the best organic rivalry in the NFL. Where, you know, it's not based on, you know, being division foes. It's not based on geography. It's not based on, you know, some sort of long-time history. It's based on a lot of really good games, a lot of really high-stakes games. And I think, as much as I don't think these two teams really like each other, I do think there's a ton of mutual respect. And so I don't care who you root for. I think if you're an NFL fan, you've had this one circled since the schedule came out.
Carrington, you ruffled some feathers yesterday when you had your list of the Chiefs' biggest rivals. You also had the Bengals at one. Any backtracking, or do you believe, yes, the Cincinnati Bengals are the Chiefs' biggest rival in the National Football League?
No, you can fade the music down just a little bit. Let me give you the top five teams that I think are the rivals to the Chiefs again, and then I want to play some audio for you guys. I would rank it Raiders 5, Chargers 4, Bills 3, Ravens 2, Bengals 1. If you want to swap out the Ravens and the Bills, I'm not going to fight you too hard on that, but I think this is the list. I think the rivalry between the Bengals and the Chiefs just stems from the fact of it feels a lot like the Patriots and Colts used to feel, that usually when these two teams play each other, it really means something. Now, this is early on in the season, but we gave you guys the stat yesterday. Over the last couple of years, since they have expanded the playoffs to 14 teams, there have been 33 teams that have started the year 0-2. Only two of those teams have made the postseason. So Cincinnati is one of those teams, so you can't completely count them out, especially because they play Washington and Carolina in weeks 3 or 4. So this team could easily be 2-2 heading into a week 5 matchup against the Baltimore Ravens. But the math tells you and history tells you, you really need to win this game. So on one side, I think the Chiefs are going to show up. And if there's one team that I know they are not going to overlook, that I know they are not going to play down to, and they're not going to read too much into week one, it is going to be against the Cincinnati Bengals. That same thing also works on the flip side. If there is any team that you need to kind of get back right, if you need an example, if you're Zach Taylor, you can lose to anybody. It is losing at home and only scoring 10 points to the New England Patriots. And now you guys got to refocus and regroup, or we're going to be staring down the barrel of 0-2 at the hands of the Kansas City Chiefs. Cody brought this to my attention, and I agree with him. You can kind of eliminate Cincinnati from the 1-seed conversations. If you were telling me, even though it's 2 weeks, Kansas City is going to have a 2-game lead against Cincinnati and also have the tiebreaker. So Cincinnati needs to be 3 games better than Kansas City down the stretch in order for them to have a higher seed placement than Kansas City. You can kind of eliminate that conversation. I don't see Kansas City taking a massive step back this year, and Cincinnati would just have to get red hot in the final 15 weeks of the season in order for them to be 3 games better than what I think Kansas City is going to be. So you got a chance to really do some damage to one of the key rivals and contenders in the AFC. Let me play a couple of different things on why I think the Bengals are the Chiefs' number one rival. So this is Cameron Taylor Britt. He is the number one corner for the Cincinnati Bengals. He was asked about Xavier Worthy. Xavier Worthy scored 2 touchdowns last week. He was one of the best rookies in the National Football League. He was asked, how do you stop Xavier Worthy? Here was his answer.
That's about it. He can run straight. Run jet sweeps and just run straight. He can't do too much else, so that's about it. Feel like you put your hands on him, he's only 100-something pounds. So if you put hands on him, you'll stop the speed. So basically get hands on him.
That man just called Xavier Worthy a gadget player. I mean, that's what he said. If you're telling me that he's a small, wiry, fast guy who can't really run routes and can only run fast in straight lines, that's what you just called him. If I'm Xavier Worthy, that would upset me. I dominated at Texas, and in my first NFL game, I touched the ball 3 times and I scored 2. And you're telling me I'm a gadget player. I can't do anything other than run fast. Every time they play these guys, it's just yapping is what it is. I think it's fun. I like the back and forth between the two teams. It makes it entertaining to discuss over the course of the week. But boy, over the course of the last couple of years, that side and the Chiefs have done a little bit of talking, but their talking has been like a 3 or a 4. The talking from the Cincinnati side has been at a 10 for basically the last 3 or 4 matchups.
Good afternoon, Cincinnati. I have a proclamation from the desk of the mayor. Be it proclaimed, whereas the Cincinnati Bengals are headed to Burrowhead Stadium for their 2nd consecutive AFC Championship game. Whereas at last year's game, the Bengals scored more points than the Chiefs, resulting in a Bengals victory and a Chiefs loss. Whereas Joseph Lee Burrow, who's 3-0 against Mahomes, has been asked by officials to take a paternity test to confirming whether or not he's his father. Whereas all season long, Cincinnati has been on a path of destiny, fighting it out to overcome anyone who stands between them and a Super Bowl win. And whereas Kansas City is named after its neighboring state, which is, you know, just kind of weird. Now therefore, I, Aftab Pierval, mayor of the city of Cincinnati, do hereby proclaim January 29th, 2023, as they gotta play us day in Cincinnati. Thank you.
That was the mayor of Cincinnati. That was just last year when this happened. It feels like a lot has happened since this. That was on January 27th of 2023. So it wasn't like it was that long ago that the mayor of Cincinnati said all of these things in direction towards the Kansas City Chiefs. It is just something about this rivalry that just, it brings the best out of both sides. I think the teams have a lot of respect for one another. Like when Ja'Marr Chase did the NFL top 10 and was asked who the best player is, I think he knows who the best player is. But it's the gamesmanship. It's the back and forth. No, I'm not going to say that guy. I don't like him. That's when sports are usually at its best. When one side doesn't like the other side, when North Carolina is playing Duke, when Auburn is playing Alabama, when Michigan is playing Ohio State, I do not like them. Remember when San Francisco against Seattle, those would be tightly contested games, or Ravens and Steelers. Usually great football games at the core of it, at the foundation is I do not like the other side. Every time you put a microphone in front of Ja'Marr Chase's face, and this is from earlier today, he lets you know, I do not like the Chiefs.
The energy's there, both sides. I'm sure they know we don't like them. They know they don't like us. So, I mean, the energy already there. It's not really much we got to say now to this point. It's been 4 years now, so everyone gets it.
The chirping and the talking, does that make it more fun for you?
In the game, yeah. You know what I'm saying? When the media come, y'all just blow it up and then make some stuff out of it. But I just wait till the game come now. I'm smarter than that now. I'm 4 years in.
Well, good for you, Ja'Marr Chase. I'm happy that you have learned a little bit through that.
I mean,
I like
the
talking.
Has he? I've learned not to talk in the media. As he tells the media, I don't like the Chiefs. I mean, come on now.
I mean, the last time he called that man tuna in a can, that was PG compared to what he said a couple years ago, what he said about Justin Reed. Calling that man tuna in a can was crazy. Then after the game, he was trying to fight L'Jarius Sneed. There was a lot going on. There was a whole lot going on. So I'm excited for the game. I'm excited to see Kansas City's offense again. It looked like they had their pop and sizzle back. I'm also excited to see Cincinnati. Like, just on the text line, it is kind of funny. A couple weeks ago when I was kind of high on Cincinnati, you guys were telling me to calm down. Now it's like, I don't know, man. They got a lot of problems. It's like, it was 1 week. All right, I don't know what stance you guys want me to have on the Cincinnati Bengals, but it is hard. They had the worst performance of any team in the National Football League. None of us thought Carolina was going to be good. So Carolina getting blown out by the New Orleans Saints, they were the worst team last year in the league. They look like the worst team in the league to start this season. Like, nothing has changed in Carolina. Cincinnati had the worst performance of any team in the National Football League. It was not close, in my opinion. They scored 10 points against the New England Patriots. Their quarterback threw for less than 200 yards. It was bad. It was really bad. They just got beat. They just got beat on almost any level by the New England Patriots. And now you go in a situation. I don't want to call this a must win for Cincinnati. I don't think that is a must win. But one of your games that was a gimme, you lost one of those games. You kind of got to make that up somewhere. And if you're Cincinnati and you lost the game to New England, I mean, this month, you have New England on the road against Kansas City on Sunday, Washington and Carolina. That was a stretch that you were expecting to come out of it 3-1. Now, maybe you steal this game on the road against Kansas City and you make it back. You make back the loss you had against New England. But going into a division that we know is going to be tough and tightly contested, Cleveland's got a good defense. Pittsburgh's got a good defense. Baltimore is one of the better teams in the league. Man, losing games like New England at home, that's big. That's the difference in winning your division and being a wild card team. That's the difference of playing Kansas City on the road in the frigid cold like Miami and hosting a home game like Miami. I know we say, it's only one game in the NFL. Man, that stuff matters. If you're talking about teams that you think are going to win 11 or 12 games, compete for a championship, and the differences in you being at home or on the road or creating an easier path for yourself. That's one of the worst losses we'll see from any team in the National Football League if Cincinnati ends up being good this year. If they end up being a 12-5 team, we're going to look back and think, man, week one, how in the world did they lose to the New England Patriots? Or if this team doesn't turn things around and they have a mediocre year and they're 8-9 this year or barely above 500, we're going to say, the writing was on the wall. It was very obvious in week one and we just ignored all of the signs.
What's weird is, and they always start 0-1, it's like the sun rising. You know what's going to happen. But this was supposed to be the year, if you talk to fans that of the Bengals, that it was supposed to not happen. Like, what's that stat we had earlier? Zach Taylor is 1-9 in weeks 1-2 going into this week.
1-8, yeah.
That's insane. That's horrible. But this year is supposed to be different. They had the Patriots at home, and even though Joe Burrow was coming off an injury, and you had Jamar Chase with contractitis, and T. Higgins was battling an injury, this was the game to a little bit knock the rust off, get right, get a dub, get some of those week one, week two scaries, for lack of a better term, behind you, and then you have a mega matchup with the Chiefs. It's Nance, it's Romo, here we go. But lo and behold, here we are again with a Zach Taylor coach Bengals team underperforming in week one. And now week two is a big matchup for not just the AFC, but all the things that you talked about. Remember the year, I believe it was the year the Chiefs hosted Cincinnati in the AFC title game. The Bengals started slow that year. If the Bengals had started fast that year, maybe that game in Kansas City is in Cincinnati. Maybe it's different if that game's in Cincinnati. Remember, they won on a game-winning field goal. Like, it could be different, but they're always 0-1. They're always 0-2. And I remember we talked about this summer. It's possible the Chiefs could have a massive leg up in the one seed race by week three, and it's shaping up that way if the Bengals turn out to be the team we think the Bengals can be.
Yeah, 100%. And I think at least for me, and maybe where my energy is directed towards Cincinnati, is most of the teams that I thought was going to be good this season, they either played well or won. Like Baltimore, I think, is going to make the playoffs this year. Baltimore didn't win, but Baltimore went on the road against Kansas City and had a chance to win that game. Somebody had to leave Kansas City 1-0, and it just happened to be Baltimore. Man, of all the teams that I kind of thought was going to be good this year, they by far and away had the worst performance of any of them. And there is a difference to me in losing. The Rams lost. The Rams went on the road, lost in overtime to the Detroit Lions. Again, somebody has to lose. 16 teams are going to start 1-0. 16 teams are going to start 0-1. There is a difference to me in losing and laying an egg. And the amount of teams that we think laid an egg in week one, that's a small number of teams. Cincinnati is on that list. Cincinnati laid an egg. I would say Atlanta laid an egg. The Panthers laid an egg. There weren't a lot of teams that you thought just really went out there and just played poorly in week one like the Giants did. That's the category that Cincinnati is. They had one of the worst performances in week one of the entire league. And that's why I think the conversation about them is so heightened this week. If they had lost the way the Rams had lost, not a big deal. If they had lost to a team that we have respect for, think is going to be good. No, like they lost to a bad team, a team that we perceive to be a bad team at home week one. And I guess one of my issues with Cincinnati is, as somebody that picked them in the beginning of the season, is I look at the rest of the AFC and I've seen teams that have evolved. Kansas City is different over the course of the last couple of seasons. Houston is different over the course of the last couple of seasons. We are seeing a new version of Buffalo now without Stephon Diggs. They still scored 34 points in week one. The same problems that you thought Cincinnati had in 2022, they have those exact same problems right now. The same problems that you thought they had in 2021, they have those exact same problems right now. They feel very stagnant in a lot of ways, or running in place, where the AFC kind of has some new energy. The Colts look like they could be an exciting team this year. Houston's one of those teams. We're waiting to see if the Jets can develop and be a good team this year. The Bengals just feel kind of last season, last year in some ways. And I just wasn't expecting that from them in week one of the season. Coming up on the other side, almost everybody has been weighing in on the Bengals quarterback. We'll play some of the best reactions. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, Jamar Chase just said that the Bengals are the team to beat in the NFL. Did you see that? I'm just not really surprised. I mean, we know enough about Jamar Chase. In no circumstances did I expect Jamar Chase to say that Kansas City was the team to beat in the NFL. He won't even acknowledge who the best player in the league is. So if he's not going to say Patrick Mahomes' name, I didn't expect him to be like, man, you know what? That team that Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback for, they're better than us. I was not expecting that. Not at all. Not in any ways. Nothing about that is in line with what I think we know about Jamar Chase. All right, I want to play three different audio cuts for you because I think that Joe Burrow is the number one story in the league with how he played, how they played. So I want to play for you two former NFL players that are very down on him, and Nick is on the opposite side. All right, let's start with Chris Canty. Chris Canty does mornings now at ESPN Radio, played in the league for double-digit years, good player. He is not very high right now in Joe Burrow.
Because this wrist injury is something that we don't have a lot of history with quarterbacks being able to bounce back from in the NFL. We just haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. So I am not going to believe it until I see it, and that's why sitting here today, I'm selling all the Bengals stock. And I'm selling all my Joe Burrow stock.
All of it?
All of it.
Not keeping a couple of shares?
I'm not hedging. I'm telling you, man. It's just something feels different about this slow start that the Bengals are getting out to as opposed to the slow starts that we've seen in the past. Now, I get it. Joe Burrow in his career is 1-8 through the first two games of the season.
That's just not okay, though.
That's not good.
I'm done accepting that. I got to be honest.
But that's what it is. That's what's happened. Yeah. The thing that makes this one a little bit different, though, is that he practiced all throughout training camp. Mm. So you practiced all throughout training camp. You had your full complement of weapons available to you. And that's the best you got? That's the best you could do against the Cincinnati Bengals? 10 points at home?
So that was Chris Canty of ESPN Radio. I am not at the point all my Joe Burrow stock, but I do think that we have been in a cycle of Joe Burrow either being hurt or recovering from an injury. And it has been some time since I think we've seen Joe Burrow be that guy. That Super Bowl, it was a little bit ago now in an NFL sense. And for me, the yards per attempt is the thing that I'm looking at the most. The accuracy is there, but I think he is just a lot safer with what he is doing. In the last four seasons, now you're counting this year, it's just one game, so maybe it's not fair to do that. But in 2021, his yards per attempt were 8.9. It was 7.4 in 2022. It was 6.3 last year. On Sunday, it was at 5.7. 8.9, that's an elite quarterback yards per attempt. For example, Patrick Mahomes on Thursday was 10.4. That's you pushing the ball down the field and big plays coming out of the passing game. 5.7 is like bottom five quarterback in the National Football League. Their offense just had no explosiveness. So if you want to get the old Joe Burrow back, you got to push the ball downfield and you got to make plays in the passing game. And that's just not what they did on Sunday against the New England Patriots. I want to play what another player had to say. This is James Jones. He also is on FS1 like Nick Wright. He also down on Joe Burrow and how he played on Sunday.
We got to start keeping it real for Joe Burrow. If Lamar Jackson throw that ball and his toe ain't out, it's a lot of ifs. If Jalen Hurts look down the middle of the field and read cover two and don't throw it and it ain't picked, it's a lot of ifs, but them dudes take a lot of heat. Joe Burrow has not been good, man, the last 2 years. And starting off this season, he ain't been good. He was 5-5 last year and then went out with an injury, all right? Then they went 4-3 without Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow without top elite wide receivers is average.
Ooh.
He is. But we keep, we keep living on the Super Bowl appearance. But we don't live on other stuff for other quarterbacks. Joe Burrow's not playing good football right now. He ain't.
I mean, there's no denying that he's not playing good football. The numbers would tell you that. I do ask this question. When was the last time that Burrow looked like him? Because the Burrow that came into Kansas City for those two AFC championship games, that guy was really good. The Burrow that went on the road to beat Josh Allen in a postseason game, the Joe Burrow that is 5-1 in postseason games, that guy has been really good. The last year and a half, now a lot of that is due to injury. That guy just hasn't been sharp, hasn't been explosive. He hasn't been one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. CJ Stroud looks better than what Joe Burrow looks like right now. Lamar Jackson has been better than him. Brock Purdy has been better than him. Dak Prescott. There's a lot of guys who recently have played like top five, top 10 quarterbacks. I think it's been a while since we've seen Burrow. I thought he was going to be a little bit further along in week one than he looked. He looked how he did for most of last season, and he never looked healthy last year, and he had a lot of the same problems that I think we saw against the Patriots. I want to play one more cut for you guys. This is Nick Wright. He was on First Things First. He is on the opposite side. He is on Joe Burrow's side.
But this idea that is being propagated online and by other talk show hosts, oh, he's been bad for 2 years, is a lie. It's nonsense. We had a conversation on this show last year going into the game he hurt his wrist. Could he win the MVP of the league? Because after the opening 4 weeks last year, once his calf got healthy,
unbelievable.
This is what he did. What he did weeks 5 through 9, oh, he looked like the best quarterback in the league. And that was coming off a 2-year stretch where we can show you what he did. He was the second best quarterback in the league. So do I think it's, when people are like, why aren't we doing this? Why are we giving Joe Burrow more margin of error than we give Lamar or we give Josh Allen at times? Because we have seen Joe Burrow win in big spots and play great in big spots that those guys haven't. We have seen Joe Burrow go into Josh Allen's house in the playoffs, outplay him when Josh laid an egg. We have seen Joe Burrow have 2 playoff runs better than any 1 playoff run Lamar has had. That's why. That is what you earn by, it is clear. Listen, am I worried about him? If his wrist is really still hurt, he will not be good.
I agree with Nick there. I do think that Burrow is owed a measure of time to figure things out, just given how good he was in 2021 and 2022. 2021 and 2022, Joe Burrow, in my opinion, was the second best quarterback in the league. He had 34 touchdown passes in 2021. He had 35 touchdown passes in 2022. He was really, really good, had a quarterback rating of over 100 in both of those seasons. And last year, he was bad for most of the season, and it looked the same. And maybe this is fair or unfair in the league. It is just a simple, what have you done for me lately kind of league. Man, it wasn't that long ago Aaron Rodgers was winning NFL MVPs. He doesn't look like that guy anymore. It turned really quick for Tom Brady, where Brady was second in the MVP voting and then was just bad his last season. Now, obviously, age is not the factor with Joe Burrow that it was for those other two quarterbacks, but injury usually is. What does 100% healthy Joe Burrow look like? It's been a while since we've seen that. He wasn't healthy at any point last season. He didn't look healthy in week one of the NFL season. He wasn't healthy in the Super Bowl against Cincinnati. Against the Rams. It's just been a while since we can say that we've seen him healthy. And you can make the argument for other quarterbacks. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, but Mahomes has been injured too. Yeah, but through those injuries, Mahomes has continued to play at a really high level. Like, if you're telling me last year was down Patrick Mahomes, who threw for 4,000 yards, had 27 touchdown passes, and had a 7 yard per attempt, and then played almost perfect football in the postseason. Yeah, if that's what injured looks like for your quarterback, you can live with that. Injured Patrick Mahomes and how he's looked and injured Joe Burrow have looked completely different over the course of the last 18 months.
I mean, I understand the text line's point, not the Mahomes point, but the text line's point on the whole, guys, it's been 1 week. I understand that. There's a trend, but it's a concerning trend. It's an alarming trend. It's, as a football fan, something you don't want to see from what was once one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. But let's see if he shakes out of it. If Joe Burrow looks the same way he did last week, this week, they lose. If he looks like Jake Browning reincarnate this year, maybe they go 9-8 and make the playoffs. But that's not a Super Bowl team. That's not a team that rises back up to that AFC title quality. I understand it's 1 week, and I understand the text line, which has been largely pushing back on this with that point. Sample size matters, but there's a trend here. Now, does he finally feel healthy, get knocked the rust off, and then start roar back to the Burrow of old? Possibly. But the trend is definitely alarming, and the trend reeks of a guy who might be done.
Yeah, I guess for me,
done by Super Bowl standards, by the way.
Yeah, I guess at least for me, a lot of it with the 1 week is not just the one individual. It's sort of trusting your eyes and what you see in the game. And what I saw from Joe Burrow on Sunday was just not encouraging in any way, where it's one thing to lose. Teams lose all the time. It's how you lose and how you look in the loss. And when the sports talk host in your city is saying that you are unwilling to push the ball downfield and 16 of your first 20 throws were less than 5 yards, that's just not how you win the Super Bowl, and that's not what made you an elite quarterback. And wondering if you can get healthy and get to that point of being that elite quarterback. Coming up on the other side, we'll get you ready for Thursday Night Football, Bills and Dolphins. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5, The Fan. Rob, if you had to offer up one bet for the people, what bet would you offer up tonight for Thursday Night Football? The bet that I would offer up, because you get a no sweat token on one of the sportsbook apps, I would tell you to take the Josh Allen anytime touchdown today. He had 2 rushing touchdowns. He has 7 rushing touchdowns in their last 7 games. I like Josh Allen at an anytime rush touchdown. If you really want to get spicy with it with your no sweat token, I would tell you to take the first touchdown. Buffalo goes down the field. It's first and goal from the 2-yard line. They do a quarterback keeper with Josh Allen. He scores the first touchdown of the game. I believe you can get that at plus 600. So that would be the bet I would tell you to take today.
Speaking of what the sportsbook have, FanDuel, our friends at FanDuel have a no sweat same game parlay tonight.
Yes.
Do you know what I would, I would, you know, put as many legs or you want in there. But for me, Keon Coleman plus 270 anytime touchdown and Bills on the money line. That's the play tonight. You think the Bills are going to win. I think the Bills are going to win. Screw the points. Just take them on the money line and add Keon Coleman. You can juice it up a little bit. If you go Keon Coleman anytime touchdown and Bills on the money line, I do this live in real time, you are going to get a parlay of plus 489.
It's not bad.
It's a no sweat. So if you're wrong, take that money back. Play it on Sunday. Play it on Saturday. Play it on Friday night. Whatever have you. But Keon Coleman's going to score a touchdown this year. Might as well be now, and we both think the Bills are winning.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm taking Buffalo, too. I'm using them as my 100% profit boost that you can double up on what you're going to get. You're going to give me Buffalo and plus money. I think they're the better team, and home field doesn't really seem to matter in this. Also, looking at the weather, I think it favors the team that wants to ground and pound, and run the football. I think that's going to be Buffalo. I really like Buffalo today. I really like them in this game. You know where I am on Miami. I think Buffalo is just the more physical of these two teams. And in a game in which I think weather is going to be a factor, I think that's a major, major difference. And I think that could be enough for a team that wants to get out and run with the speed that they have on the outside. I think that could be a little bit of a difference. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take Josh Allen anytime touchdown. Again, that's my favorite one. I also like them on the money line, too. If you want to parlay those two things, I don't really see the Bills winning if Josh Allen doesn't score a touchdown in this game. So you might can give yourself a little bit better juice if you want to go ahead and combine those two.
I'll also say this about the Bills game tonight. I mean, the Bills, if they go out and dominate the Dolphins, the conversation tomorrow on the national media, maybe not this show, but the national media is going to be, are the Bills a Super Bowl threat? Just, I want to get ahead of that, because you know how Chiefs 100%. Fans are. If any other team is considered a Super Bowl threat, Chiefs fans get very in their feelings. But let the Bills dominate tonight in that game, and let Josh Allen do it with mediocre weapons. The conversation tomorrow on Stephen A. Smith, on Breakfast Ball, on, you know, First Things First, on any of those shows, the conversation is, are the Bills a Super Bowl contender? And it's going to come faster than we think.
Yeah, I mean, I think the conversation also is going to happen. You know how I think. I think Devontae Adams is going to get traded at the deadline. If there's a team that you could see pushing their chips in the middle of the table to go get a receiver that could help get them over the hump, it would make sense if it's the Buffalo Bills to me. So I could actually see them being a team that would be really aggressive. Obviously, long way to go to that conversation. But if this year goes the way I think it's going to go for the Raiders, I think Devontae Adams is going to be available here in about 6 weeks for you to go grab him to help you the second half of the season. And he would make a lot of sense in Buffalo.
I'm not so sure Devontae Adams is getting traded in the season. I think he's gone at the end of the year.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think it kind of reminds me of D-Hop in Arizona. We all knew it was going to be over, but it was going to be over in February, not in October.
We had a lot of fun today. Tomorrow's show is kind of weird because we only have like 2.5 hours because of the Royals. They're in Pittsburgh, so that game's a little bit late. So we'll try to give you as much Chiefs coverage as we can. Nate Taylor is going to be on the show tomorrow from 3:30 to 4:30. We're also going to have the color commentary voice for the Bengals radio network. So we're going to have a lot of football, as much football as we can give you on a shortened show. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you did as well. Go Bills, and I'll catch you guys tomorrow. It's Drive.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.